It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is week two in the National Football League. We've got a game under our belts to find out how these coaches are really using these players this year and how these teams look, at least at the start of the season. This is the AFC version of the Fantasy Feast. We will also, from now on, record the NFC version, both conferences, on the exact same day, so you can listen to them when you want, how you want. That's the way podcasts are supposed to be, on-demand audio. I'm Ross Tucker, former journeyman offensive lineman who is in four, count them, four fantasy football leagues this year. Week one didn't go great, but that's okay. I'm a slow starter. He is Evan Silva. He's the dominatrix, basically, of fantasy football for rotoworld.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Evan Silva. I am at Ross Tucker NFL. If you want to make sure that you get this bad boy, both of these bad boys, as soon as they're ready, follow Brian at RTF Podcast. He also will tweet out some of our special sponsor offers from time to time, because I know a lot of times you guys are driving or you're working out or whatever, and so you're not able to actually remember what the code is for some of our sponsors. We'll tweet those out. So if you're following us on Twitter, especially Brian, then you'll see what the offers are. Bam, you can click it. Go for it. Speaking of clicking it, Tuesday we gave out this week's Madden 16 copy. Don't you want to get your own Madden 16 copy? All you need to do is iTunes comments as well as forward me, Ross at RossTucker.com. Just one. If you do more than one, you're pretty much definitely going to get the free Madden copy. But at least one copy of an email confirmation from you signing up for one of our sponsors, and you will be all set. Speaking of that, by the way, how about we got Bri in the action, getting us involved with the H.H. Gregg Ultimate Fan Cave Sweepstakes, which looks awesome, by the way. You can win a grand prize of a $5,000 H.H. Gregg gift card. They're also giving away weekly prizes of $500 gift cards. Some of the daily prizes include footballs autographed by the fridge, season ticket t-shirts. The sweepstakes runs through the next 2 weeks, so until September 30th. Here's all you need to do. Show us your man cave. Here's how you do it. Start building your ultimate fan cave at H.H. Gregg, home theater, whatever you need, TV, etc. Go to www.hhgregg.com/fan-cave to enter. You can also submit photos of your current lame fan cave on Twitter and Instagram by tagging at H.H. Gregg and using the hashtag fan cave entry. Somebody's current terrible fan cave will get you a $100 HH gift card. But here's what really matters. Go to hhgregg.com/fan-cave at some point in the next 2 weeks and make sure you show them that you've registered for your fan cave. Then you can get maybe this ultimate $5,000 gift card to start building your own ultimate fan cave. I got a bunch of TVs there when I first moved into this house. So good stuff, Bri. Very good stuff. hhgregg.com/fan-cave. Speaking of good stuff, Evan, how awesome is it now that we actually had a chance to watch every team play at least once to see player usage? And I know it's only one game, but it's still nice to separate a lot of the preseason fiction from fact in terms of how these coaches really see their own players.
Yeah, loved it. It's awesome. A lot of our suspicions from the preseason were confirmed in week one. Some were denied, but I think most were confirmed. I mean, I feel like we had a good week one. You know, we didn't whiff on too much. A lot of the things that we expected to happen did happen. The one big whiff I've had so far is Carlos Hyde, who looked like an absolute monster. I mean, the 49ers just dominated Minnesota on both offensively and defensively with their physicality. Just punched them in the mouth. And Carlos Hyde looked really, really good. And it'll be interesting to see if that was a fluke. Because a lot of, you know, the week one outcomes are not always a great indicator of what's to come. Like last year, the Titans beat Kansas City at Arrowhead in week one. And every year there are some flukes that occur, but the 49ers look pretty damn good in their first game.
Yeah, they really, really did, especially Hyde. I know you weren't particularly high on him, but it all goes together, right? I mean, I think we thought the team wasn't going to be very good. And again, it's only one game, but that they'd be behind. So then it'd be Reggie Bush in, and we get it, right? There, you know, then Reggie Bush gets hurt. She doesn't split the carries. We'll see. But, yeah, he looked pretty good. The O-line looked a lot better than I thought it would. But we'll talk about them on the NFC podcast. This is the AFC version. We do that and record that one first and post that one first because we got a game. Tomorrow night already, Thursday night, it's the Chiefs hosting the Broncos. Reminder, we don't spend a ton of time on the no-brainers. We spend a time on guys that you're legitimately probably thinking about whether or not to start or sit and who should be in your lineup, as well as potentially guys that you could pick up that might replace somebody on some of these teams. Let's start with the Chiefs and the Broncos. Evan, you mentioned Carlos Hyde. You didn't get right. Well, you also were the first one above the Kelce train. Six catches, 106 yards, two touchdowns. Macklin, just okay. Jamal Charles, just okay. He did get a touchdown against the Chiefs. Alex Smith actually had a pretty decent day. For the Broncos, Peyton still continuing to struggle. C.J. Anderson got banged up, didn't look great when he was in there. What's noteworthy about this game that you think is important? Why don't we start with the level of concern for Peyton Manning and C.J. Anderson?
Right, and on our last podcast, we talked about what we thought about Peyton Manning and how it was concerning how he looked in the preseason. It was concerning how he looked down the stretch of last year. And it was concerning how he looked in week one. He looks like a shell-shocked quarterback at the end of his career. Doesn't look comfortable throwing the football after making dropbacks, after receiving the ball from center. He looks a lot more comfortable in the shotgun, but the Broncos want to run a lot of their offense from under center. So I don't know if they'll make adjustments or what, but I think it's fair to wonder whether or not Peyton Manning is a fantasy starter entering week two. This game has a very low over-under, 42 points. Vegas has the Broncos scoring 19.5 points this week, which is, I mean, that's one of the lowest, and that's easily the lowest of the Peyton Manning era in Denver. So there are a lot of red flags here. I still think Peyton is a pretty decent bet to pick it up. But this isn't the greatest matchup for him. I do think we'll see Demaryius bounce back this week. DeAndre Hopkins ate up Jamel Fleming last week, and Nate Washington also had a big day. So I think that we'll see Demaryius bounce back, and I think we'll see Peyton Manning be solid. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's likely to start lighting it up immediately again.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think this is a very low-scoring game. Both these defenses are pretty darn good. Denver's defense is awesome.
Yeah, it's so good.
Now, I will say I was a little wrong on Houston. I mean, on Kansas City, they scored more points against Houston than I thought they would. I thought J.J. Watt against Eric Fisher was a problem. Well, guess what? J.J. Watt against Ja Reed was as much of a problem, but it just proved that one guy can't really do it. by himself, no matter how good he is. I'm with you on a low-scoring game here. The question, I guess, is, you know, like from a Chiefs perspective, that doesn't mean, you know, you're not actually going to sit Charles or Kelsey or Macklin, right? You're just kind of live with the results of a low-scoring game and not expect a lot of touchdowns. I guess it depends on who else you have.
Exactly. And some people will be worried about C.J. Anderson already. I would feel good about him. He had 8 targets in the passing game last week, and he played 74% of the Broncos' offensive snaps. Again, they want him to be their bell cow back. He didn't have a great week one statistically. The Chiefs had some trouble against Alfred Blue, Jonathan Grimes, Chris Polk last week. They averaged over 4.5 yards per carry. I would keep trotting out C.J. Anderson. You do want to have Ronnie Hillman as a handcuff, though. Hillman continues to look very good.
Yeah, he really does. I don't think there's any question about it. We've also got another game I can't wait for, the Patriots at the Buffalo Bills, who torched the Indianapolis Colts, and they get Marcell Dareus back going against that young interior offensive line for the Patriots. I think we know what the Patriots are going to try to do. Brady just dinking and dunking all day to everybody. For the Bills, Tyrod, pretty efficient performance. I wonder if we're going to start to see more and more of Carlos Williams. And I wonder if that starts on Sunday, Evan. The Patriots have a somewhat depleted defensive tackle core, and it seemed like, you know, the Steelers could run on them whenever they wanted to. Now, I think Belichick was worried about stopping the pass and was kind of okay with D'Angelo Williams running a lot. I mean, they had a lot of nickel in. They had Chandler Jones and Ninkovich in at D-tackle at times. I think he'll have a totally different game plan for the Bills. I think he will force Tyrod Taylor to beat them throwing the football. But it is still interesting to note that, you know, Rex wants to run it, and you know that the Patriots looked susceptible against Pittsburgh.
Totally agree. I'm really not worried about the Patriots front seven. They have a lot of talent there. And they always have a tendency, no matter whether it's offensive line, defensive line, secondary, Tom Brady last year, they have early season problems and then they fix them, you know, because they have a great coach. And that's probably what will happen with the defensive front. And we can see it start to get better as soon as this week. McCoy is... He was always kind of a tough fit for Greg Roman's gap running scheme because he's a dancer, and he's a dancer who has lost some of his juice, some of his, you know, he can still make great jukes, but I don't think he has the burst that he used to have after some toe and hamstring injuries. I was off him in redraft, and I'm still off of him. I mean, I guess if you drafted him, it's likely that he's one of your best options. But, yeah, I'm with you. I want to see more of Carlos Williams. And it'll be very interesting to see Sammy Watkins, who I think saw one target in week one, just got taken out of the game by Vontae Davis, who's maybe the best cornerback in the AFC right now, maybe in the entire NFL. And will Sammy Watkins be able to bounce back? Because, again, This is the fact that the Bills are such a run first team and their quarterback is a dual threat. You know, Sammy Watkins isn't going to have games where he gets like 11 targets. That's not going to happen. So he's got to be really, really efficient with his 6 to 8 targets per game going forward. And then he's going to be a total dud, in situations like what happened last week. I wouldn't even feel comfortable starting him, even in what appears to be a good matchup against New England.
Houston is in Carolina, so we'll focus on the Texans for the AFC podcast. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins is proving every day that he's a must start. The only question I have, I guess, as it relates to the Texans would be Nate Washington. How much of an anomaly is that, or should people be picking him up left and right?
journeyman 32-year-old Nate Washington has a game like that, you know, once every 2 years. And no, I wouldn't go picking him up. Cecil Shorts is the guy to own behind DeAndre Hopkins. He had a decent day in week one. Those guys are going to play in three receiver sets for sure, but Cecil Shorts is ahead of Nate Washington on the depth chart. The RB situation is just a total nightmare until Arian Foster comes back. This was one of the games that I watched on Sunday. It was just an even rotation with Alfred Blue, Jonathan Grimes, and Chris Polk. That is the Texans acknowledging that they don't have a feature running back in the absence of Foster, and none of those guys saw more than 10 touches. So, you know, good luck starting any of those guys.
Moving on to the next AFC matchup, how about San Diego in Cincinnati? Evan, I watched a bunch of the Chargers and the Lions in the airport after I called the Rams and the Seahawks, and I've never seen anything like it where it felt like every single time I looked at the screen, it was a shallow cross to Stevie Johnson or Keenan Allen. They would catch it with nobody within 5 yards of them, get upfield right away, dive forward for 9 to 13 yards. I'd say one out of every 30 plays, maybe they'd hand the ball to Woodhead. Other than that, it was a shallow cross to Stevie Johnson, Keenan Allen, every single play. And I got to give you credit. You've been on Team Stevie for a long time now.
Yeah, he was a moneymaker in DFS week one. You know, he did a number on my wallet. We'll leave it at that. I don't like the Chargers offense as much this week. However, coming off kind of an emotional comeback win against Detroit, traveling, you know, almost all the way across the country to Cincinnati, the Bengals are, I think, 4-point favorites in this one. I think this is going to end up being a Jeremy Hill game with some A.J. Green and Eifert mixed in. And I think the Chargers are going to struggle offensively. They lost DJ Fluker, stud Mahler, right guard. And I'm, you know, I don't have high expectations for the Chargers offense this week. Keenan Allen leads the NFL in targets through one game and is an obvious every week starter. And I think Danny Woodhead, who right now, I mean, he played more snaps than Melvin Gordon in week one and dominated red zone work. Ray Summerlin from RotoWorld had a great stat. He had Danny Woodhead had 10 opportunities in the red zone, whereas Melvin Gordon had zero. So Melvin Gordon is a borderline fantasy starter until we start to see him pick it up. Danny Woodhead, I think, is an every week fantasy starter. Keenan Allen, Stevie, I'm kind of off Stevie this week.
What about the Bengals? Obviously, it was a pretty good day at the office for Jeremy Hill, although maybe not overwhelming. He did have the two touchdowns. Tyler Eifert was really the story for the Bengals. You've been all over Eifert as well. You really did nail it. Other than Hyde, you really did nail week one. And I'm curious, with Eifert, how carried away is too carried away with this guy? Where should we now rank him, and what is he really?
I think he's an every week fantasy starter for sure. I had him as the tight end 7 before the season. That may prove to be not aggressive enough, but the tight end 7 to me is an every week fantasy starter, and that's what I think that he is. Now, the Raiders are a total joke, but they basically, I mean, on a lot of plays, Eifert was almost uncovered. And then they double-teamed A.J. Green. They had a safety over the top of A.J. Green almost the entire game. I think that those kind of things usually come full circle, especially when Eifert eats like he did. You know, future defensive coordinators are going to see that. They'll be like, oh, crap, you know, we can't just double A.J. Green and let Eifert whip us the entire game. So I think A.J. Green bounces back and has a really strong game. And I also think that Eifert will continue to be a really strong fantasy start. Last week, Eric Ebron had a pretty solid game. over 50 yards and a TD against the Chargers. So, like both of those guys, Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones really took back seats in week one. Sanu started, Marvin Jones entered in three receiver sets, and they both saw three targets. Neither did much. Over the course of the year, you know, those guys may have sporadic decent games, but you know, I don't even think either of them is worth a roster spot in a normal fantasy league right now.
Yeah, Eifert really delivered. You were right on that. Speaking of delivering, you know who else delivers? Stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special discounts you can't find at the post office. You can save up to 80% compared to a postage meter. You're smart. You play fantasy football. You probably work for a small business, maybe even a medium-sized business. Tell them about Stamps.com. I use it to send out the Madden 16 games I'm giving away every week this month of September, including to Ryan Emnett, who I named on the College Draft podcast yesterday. Right now, use our promo code FANTASY for this special offer. 4-week trial plus $110 bonus offer includes a digital scale up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in fantasy. That's stamps.com. Enter fantasy. Moving along here on the AFC version of the Fantasy Feast, we've got Tennessee at Cleveland. Unbelievable. In one of my leagues, I have both Bishop Sankey and Kendall Wright on the bench. I think I scored more bench points than anybody in fantasy football this past weekend. Drives me crazy looking at it now because I had the guys. It's one thing that's cool about MFL 10s, by the way, which is why my MFL 10 team scored decent points. But taking a look at the Titans, I mean, for the Browns, well, let's start with the Titans. For the Titans, how much of a bump now are we giving Sankey? Are we giving Kendall Wright? What are we thinking about Delanie Walker? And is there a place for Marcus Mariota in somebody's lineup?
I try not to jump to big conclusions after 1 week. But we saw from Marcus Mariota in the preseason that he was ready to play in the NFL. And he just kind of confirmed that in week one. Now, they are going to face a defense that is really good against the pass. Mike Pettine always has borderline dominant pass defenses. They've got Joe Hayden. They got Tremont Williams. They got Tayshawn Gibson. And again, Mike Pettine's history of pass defense is as good as any coach in the NFL, dating back to, you know, 2013 with Buffalo. Last year's Browns pass defense was great. Sankey, you know, he flashes. He definitely flashes. We saw a little bit of that from him in the preseason. He still didn't get a lot of work in week one, and they seem committed to a running back committee. That said, the performance of Sankey, and he definitely ran well, and when he runs with decisiveness, he can be, you know, a starting capable back, and that's what he did. I'm kind of in wait and see mode with him. Like, I'm not going to start throwing him in my DFS lineup, but I think that at worst, he's a good flex play in a good matchup against a Browns run D that was one of the worst in the NFL last year, and then again got gassed pretty good by Chris Ivory last week.
How about the Browns offensively? I just want to make a point here. Johnny Manziel led the Browns in rushing last week. Josh McCown was second. This is an NFL football team that plays NFL football games, and the backup quarterback led them in rushing. The starting quarterback, who played like two series, was second. Was their second leading rusher. Evan, I couldn't even make that up if I tried.
A run first team too.
Yes, exactly. Run first team. my butt. I mean, I'm not even talking about the Browns. There's nobody within any legitimate conversation for the Browns, right? Like, I think one league I have Isaiah Crowell. He's done. I don't care who else I have. The crow is not flying anymore. He's done.
Yeah, the Browns are a sad, sad embarrassment of a professional franchise.
They really, really are. San Francisco is at Pittsburgh, which immediately becomes one of the more intriguing games of the day. This is the AFC podcast. We're focusing on the Steelers. I'm going to guess, just based on what we saw the other night, I'm going to guess that if you have D'Angelo Williams, might not be a great game to have him. I think this is going to be a lot of Ben trying to pick on that Niner secondary.
That very well could be. Very well could be. I was impressed by the Steelers' run blocking. And I know a lot of people said, oh, well, the Patriots got beat up front. I thought the Steelers' run blocking was pretty darn good in week one. D'Angelo Williams had a lot of space to operate, you know. This is a really, really interesting game because I feel like we still don't have great grasps on what these two teams are. The Steelers are going to be a team in transition the entire season, getting guys back and, you know, moving guys in and out of the rotation. Le'Veon will be back next week. Martavis back in what, 3 weeks, Pouncey back late in the year. The 49ers had a really, really impressive week one game at home. And I don't know. I still don't trust that they're suddenly a good team because I don't think that they have a lot of talent on offense and defense. But they played their tails off. They played their hearts out. And they whipped the Vikings. Now, I was looking at the Vegas lines, and currently the Steelers are – this game opened with the Steelers as 6.5-point favorites, and that has moved to 5.5-point favorites after, you know, everybody got to see Carlos Hyde run all over the Vikings. But I don't know. I'll be interested to see if the 49ers have a big letdown. With that said, Carlos Hyde is a locked-in fantasy starter. Anquan Boldin is such a sneaky, great play against that terrible, terrible, abysmal Steelers secondary. Cortez Allen is such – I mean, he's awful. On Pittsburgh side, you know, you got Antonio Brown and you got Ben – and you got D'Angelo Williams on the fringe of being a fantasy starter, and then you don't have a whole lot else. Marcus Wheaton just isn't very good.
How about the game I'm going to be at? Miami Dolphins at Jacksonville Jaguars. Both teams were inept to be kind on offense on Sunday.
Yeah, big disappointment, especially from Miami. But I do think that Redskins D is really underrated. This game should set up well for Lamar Miller. But with that said, beyond an early game 22-yard run, Jonathan Stewart really didn't have a whole lot of space against the Jags, who, I mean, they can be sneaky good on defense. You know, in certain spots. But I do think this sets up well as a Lamar Miller game. And, you know, I don't think that Ryan Tannehill and Jarvis Landry have a whole lot to worry about against the Jags. The outside receivers for Miami are just a total fantasy quagmire. Kenny Stills, Rashard Matthews, Greg Jennings all rotating. And then Devontae Parker only played one snap in week one, but he's going to start getting more run than that. So, I don't think you could trust any of those perimeter receivers in Miami's offense.
I'm really looking forward to this game. As much as anything, I get a lot out of talking to the coaches on the field before the game and some of the players, so I should have some good intel.
Nice.
Next week after I get a chance to talk to those guys a little bit. That intel also could help me at DraftKings.com. Which is America's favorite One Week Fantasy football site, because One Week Fantasy means no season-long commitments. If you got Dez Bryant in your league, too bad. You're probably going to lose your league. But you can still go to DraftKings.com now and use our promo code FEAST to play for a free shot at $1 million in this week's Millionaire Maker event. Again, enter FEAST for free entry now. You know the deal. You've heard about DraftKings by now. If you're a human being in the United States or anywhere, you've heard about DraftKings. We've got the code for you for free entry. Only at DraftKings.com. It's FEAST. That's DraftKings.com. Moving on one more time, Evan. We got
Ross,
two more games
Ross,
to get to.
We got to talk about Allen Robinson.
All right, let's do it.
The volume was there. He had a terrible game. And that's going to happen sometimes. You know, he's a young player. His quarterback did not play well. I think you got to stick with him. The usage is going to be there for him, man. And I don't think that this week two game is, you know, a bad matchup. Maybe put him on the bench, give him a wait and see week. But a lot of people are panicking about Allen Robinson, who had one catch, I think, for 27 yards. But he had a bunch of targets. And those targets are not going to go away. So if you're really worried about him, just put him on your bench. Don't drop him. But I think he's going to turn it on. He's a leaper. He's big. And he's going to be a target machine, even if Bortles is, you know, the regular season version and not the preseason version.
Baltimore is at Oakland. Oakland, speaking of disastrous, you talked about that a little bit when we touched on the Bengals game. Ravens really struggled to move the ball against the Denver Broncos. Boy, I'm not a fan of Buck Allen, but Justin Forsett really wasn't able to get going either. How much of what we saw from Baltimore, Evan, was good Denver defense? How much of it was this is just not a very good Ravens offense right now?
I think it's not a very good Ravens offense, and we talked about this before the season. What do they really have besides Steve Smith in the pass catcher core? And Steve Smith is really old. So, you know, this is not the – you know, he's not a guy that you want to build your passing offense around. He really should be a complementary player at this stage of his career. And the running back situation is very interesting because Buck Allen this preseason was terrible. He was bad. He lost a fumble. He didn't get any yards with his carries. He was very inefficient. Yet they gave him a bunch of run in week one. Is that a show of the Ravens' hand regarding how they feel about Justin Forsett? Because I expected Justin Forsett, based on how bad Buck Allen was in the preseason, to be a 25-touch guy in week one. But the Ravens have a little bit of a new offensive staff there, and they may not see Justin Forsett as a guy that's capable of handling a ton of carries. I was very surprised to see Buck Allen get a lot of run in week one after how bad he was this preseason.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I didn't think he looked very good in this game either. I just wasn't impressed. There was one run that Kelechi Osemele had a great block. It was wide open and Buck Allen tripped over exactly nobody. So
yeah, Buck Allen is a big back who runs small, and those guys have trouble being successful in the NFL.
Totally agree. Is there anything to comment on from a Raiders standpoint? We still don't know exactly right now, as we record this Wednesday at 10:40 Eastern, exactly what the status will be for Derek Carr.
The good news on Latavius Murray is that he was utilized as a true every down back against Cincy. Roy Helu was a healthy scratch. Doesn't look like a big part of the Raiders' plans at this point. Latavius Murray caught 7 balls. So even though he was under 100 total yards, he was still quite useful for you in PPR leagues. And if he continues to be a legitimate every down back, he is going to be much more consistent. Because he won't have games where he has like 11 carries for 37 yards and, you know, no catches. He will provide you a lot of production because they'll stay in the game when they're behind, and the Raiders are going to be behind a lot this season. So that was good news. I think Amari Cooper is going to be fine. He only had 47 yards on 9 targets week one. But again, the targets were there. He's going to get better. I think Derek Carr is going to start. I think Amari Cooper had 5 targets in the first quarter with Derek Carr in there. So he's going to continue to get fed the rock. And it's Latavius Murray and it's Amari Cooper, and there's nobody else even worth discussion in Oakland.
Well, the last game we need to get into is the Monday Nighter. It is the Jets at the Colts. And you and I were both, especially you, all over Chris Ivory this preseason. It certainly paid off in week one. 2 touchdowns for him against the Browns.
Yeah, he was a big-time moneymaker. Yeah, for sure. And he has another good matchup. Now, I don't think that this game sets up quite as well for him. I do think it's a good matchup, but this game is an Indy, is it not?
Yes, it is an Indy.
Yeah, so I think he might be a little bit of a trap play. A lot of people will be chasing last week's points, looking at the matchup, but this is, you know, this is a situation where I just, you know, it's a little dangerous as far as I'm concerned. Like the Colts are going to bounce back. The Colts are one of the best teams in the NFL, and they're going to come back, and you know, they're going to win this game in all likelihood. So I'm probably going to fade Chris Ivory this week. Of course, I'm starting him in the season long leagues, but in DFS, probably going to let other people try to chase last week's points.
Yeah, I can see that. Absolutely, because I'm with you on the Colts in this game. I'd be very surprised if they didn't come roaring out. What does that mean for them talent wise? Who's the guy that you think will really benefit?
Well, we got to keep an eye on T.Y. Hilton because he has a bruised knee, supposedly. The Colts are saying he's day to day, and I don't expect to have a good feel for whether or not he's going to play until maybe not till Sunday. And of course, that's when we have to make all our, you know, a lot of our decisions regarding fantasy. So if he doesn't play, you know, it's going to be Moncrief and Andre Johnson and Dorsett in 3 receiver sets. We may see a little bit more of Kobe Fleener. It's still like a really deep offense. I know everybody was ready to write off Andre Johnson after the first week. He did see 10 targets from Andrew Luck. They had some chemistry issues that they need to work on. And Andre Johnson drew a lot of Stephon Gilmore, which is, you know, which is a difficult matchup for any wide receiver. I actually think that Andre Johnson is going to be okay, unless, you know, he gets the Revis treatment on Monday night. That could get ugly. I don't know. It's a tough game to forecast. I really don't feel comfortable having any strong opinions about it because the uncertainty with Hilton, and I don't really know what the Jets are going to do with Darrelle Revis because I don't know if Antonio Cromartie's going to play.
All fair points. That'll do it, by the way, for the AFC Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. If you ever hit up any of our sponsors, forward me the email, ross@rostucker.com. We'll get to your question, whatever it is for your team. You can also pick up a Madden 16 copy, iTunes rankings, and forward me one of those sponsor confirmations. You will be in the running. That's it, though. And how about this? We're going to record the NFC ones. You can get them both today or whenever you want to eat them. Stick a fork in us. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.